Welcome to the Whole Point Podcast, all about guest conversations and our personal thoughts about big ideas that will elevate your life and change your mind.
We're talking about how to bring them into your business, your family, and your real life, and what that looks like day to day on any random Tuesday. I'm Christy Bartelt, a quirky, wise mentor helping women confidently love themselves and change their lives and their minds.
I'm Serena Talbot, and I'm passionate about helping people heal and accomplish their goals, bringing spirituality and intuition into the process so that people can move forward with the life they are created to live. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to be introducing you today to something that is near and dear to my heart. And when I say you, I also mean Serena, because there's something called human design that we have a very special guest on who's going to give us the basics. And we're going to do this information in a two-part episode because human design, whether you know something about it or not, is such a vast system. But even just dabbling your toes can give you so much information about yourself. So we are excited to bring this to you and welcome to the show.
Yes, today we have Stacey Rowan. She's a life coach serving clients across the global community. She works with people who are experiencing or wishing for change in their life, helping them either navigate a current change or initiate a desired one. She started her own journey of personal development while working as a chemical engineer. Looking to balance her analytical skills, she studied ways to improve her intuition and both worked and studied with several different coaches. The time invested to better know herself has been life-changing. As a coach, one of Stacey's favorite tools for bringing clarity to your life is human design. Human design is a system that explains how you are designed to interact with the world. It supports self-awareness, self-acceptance, and ultimately self-love that's needed to live as the true, fullest expression of yourself. Stacey is certified in the use of the emergent human design as a coaching tool. And she describes her role as being like a best friend, only better. Like a best friend, she'll laugh with you, love on you, and marvel at your awesomeness. So hopefully we'll do that today. But unlike your friends, when you get stuck, she's going to listen deeply, guide you through your rough patches, offer new perspectives on old stories, and hold space for the extraordinary potential you are preparing to step into. So I'm so excited to have you here today, Stacey. Thank you.
Oh, I am so excited to be here. I love talking all things human design, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, Stacey, let's kick it off by just getting to know you a little bit better. Where are you talking to us from today?
I live in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. So it's called the Lehigh Valley. It's about equal distance between Philadelphia and New York City.
What's that topography like? Is that mountainous there? What is that?
Yes, we are we're just south of the Pocono Mountains. So for people maybe know the Pocono Mountains as a tourist place. So it is a bit hilly, we'll say. It's not quite, I don't consider it mountainous, but I did grow up in South Jersey, which is very flat, more towards the coast. And so when my mom comes to visit, if we go on walks, she's like, everywhere is a hill.
You're like, I love it. It's so good. Well, Stacey, what is a part of your current daily routine that you're absolutely loving?
In the cooler months, when we're more kind of homebodies, I'm lucky that both my husband and I work from home. So in the morning, we like to either have coffee time or book study. And coffee time we kind of do all year round, but book study for us, for whatever reason, is more of a winter thing. So we pick a book to read. It's normally some kind of personal development book. And I absorb things best visually. So I read aloud. He absorbs things best through auditory by listening. So he listens, and then we talk about all these great books that we read. And
it's what a team. How awesome is that?
It is very awesome because I like to talk things out. So hearing the words and then getting to talk to him about it is it's so great and just builds, you know, such depth in the materials we're reading and looking at.
How long have you been doing that with your husband?
I want to say this is the second or third winter. And again, for some reason, when the weather's nice, we get away from that. I think we're more outside walking. And so sometimes we just have coffee time and we just talk about part of my human design is I do better talking things through, and he's a great listener. So we do a lot of talking. So in the summer months, it's more as we're moving and we're walking. There's so many walking trails around here. But in the winter, because there's so many books that I just want to read, and he's an avid reader too. A couple of winters ago, I don't remember how we started on this, but we did and we love it.
It's great. What a great thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just tell my husband, let's figure out what kind of learner you are, buddy. And we're going deep. So along those same lines, is there a particular book, a show, or a movie that you've really loved lately?
Well, right now we're reading Seed of the Soul by Gary Zukav, which mm-hmm. I know has been around, I think, 25 years or more, but for whatever reason, I started reading it on my own maybe a year ago, and just, it wasn't the right time. And he didn't know that I even had the book, and he asked for the book for Christmas. I saw it on his Christmas list. I was like, you know, we have that book, right? So we said, oh, let's do that as our book study. And just covering a lot of things that I've encountered in different materials and bringing it all together in such a beautiful way.
Oh, wonderful. It's funny. I have had that book since I think it was on Oprah's book club list. I bought it. I still have it, although I've purged books over the years and I have not read it, but I am like you where there's a season for each book, and I've not given up on it yet. So thank you for introducing it again to my brain.
It'll come at the right time. And when I started reading it this time, I was like, why did I have such a hard time getting, this is just flowing so nicely.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is sometimes with books.
Oh, awesome.
Absolutely. So can you start off with an explanation of human design and why somebody would want to know about it? Like Christy was saying, what the hell is human design?
I know.
Sorry, Christy, I said it instead of you.
One of the things with human design is when you first encounter it, it just is complex and deep and hard to get your arms around. And you know, sometimes I think I'm amazed that anyone gets it. And I'm amazed when I actually first came to it, I was like, what is this? It didn't resonate with me. It wasn't time for it. I didn't look into it at all. It came back around some years later, namely because an online group I was in, a lot of people were into it at that time. So I was like, oh, this sounds familiar. I think I know what my type is. And I went and looked, and then it was completely down the rabbit hole. But basically, it's a system of self-discovery. So while it's very different in how it allows you to discover yourself, I think it's similar in use to a Myers-Briggs or an Enneagram or whatever. It's just a system for knowing yourself better. When you look at your human design chart, it kind of looks like, you know, a circuit map. And they use the terms of circuits and energy. So it describes how you interact with energy in life, all different types of energies. What's consistent energy in your life, what is inconsistent in your life, and how to interact with people and the world. What I really love about it is that aspect of getting to know and understand myself. And the thing I find most powerful for me in my own experience is some of the things which I was most judgmental with myself about. When I had a design reading, I learned, oh, this is how I'm meant to be. This is part of my design. This is how I'm actually wired. And from that place of, oh, this isn't a fault. This isn't something bad about me. It's just how I'm wired. I was able to find acceptance in that and the higher expression of it. So maybe I was in a low expression of that design. You know, it wasn't like I was doomed and like, oh, here's this thing. It's part of my design. I can never get away from it. It's like, no, just the acceptance of myself and understanding myself. And I find then it also helps when I interact with others, because I think about, well, I wonder what their design is. And, you know, maybe they're not intentionally being irritating me. This is just their design, you know, or whatever. There's just so much more acceptance for myself and then for others. And human design has helped me in a way that, you know, just nothing else have. And I've done a lot of reading and a lot of studying and you know, looked into a lot of systems, and this is the one that clicked with me.
This seems like a very in-depth way to do it.
It can be almost overwhelmingly deep and layered, but it can also, at some of the most basic levels, be life-altering.
Mm-hmm. I This is Stacey. This is a good point here because this is what I found with human design. I'm a, you know, if something is interesting to me, I'm like, okay, what can I read about it? How much can I know? And I very quickly realized with human design, there were some basics that even just those basics were very, very impactful in my day-to-day life in the same idea where you're saying, is this the highest expression of who I'm supposed to be? This is part of who I am. So let's make the best use of it. And I think that's what is going to be for sure the most interesting to the listeners today is like, what are these like basic things that everybody can without, honestly, you really, it is a complex system. Like there are layers upon layers. I probably don't even know all the layers. There's so many layers.
Well, and it's built on four different systems, which themselves you could study your entire life to be an expert at it. So then it's these four systems combined. So, you know, yes, if you could study one your entire life, what do you do with four? So it can be overwhelming, but there are pieces that you can pull out of that. And if that's the only thing you ever know, I believe it's still going to help you.
That's awesome. So if somebody wanted to pause this episode right now and they were going to go get their own chart, where do you do that?
So there's several places online that you can go and download a free chart. The one that I use is called mybodygraph.com. Mm-hmm. And you go now, you have to put in your birth location, city and state, if you're in the States, or city and country, if you're not in the United States, your birth date and your birth time. And so birth time is what always throws people. And then they're like, do I really need it? You do need it. And the closer you can be to having that birth time, the better. Most of the time, if you go back to your original birth certificate from the hospital you were born at, if you happen to have that, most of the time they have that on, like for me, it wasn't on my state birth certificate, but it was on the one from my hospital.
Okay.
So just birth time. If you don't have it, there's still some things you learn and you may be able to learn. It just depends on your design. Sometimes people's design don't change much over the course of a few hours or a day. You know, so you know I was born on this day in the morning, your design may not change that much and you can still kind of get some of that high level information, but you may not be able to go into the really deep stuff. Sometimes a minute in birth time completely changes.
So I go and now I have this thing in front of me. So can you tell us a little bit about each energy type?
Sure.
When someone does go and they print this thing off or they're looking at this thing online and it's describing them. Yeah.
Yes. So if you go to mybodygraph.com and you put your information in and you get this chart and it's going to look kind of wild and you're going to be like, what is this? And there's going to be shapes and lines and everything. But also what I like about mybodygraph is there's an information panel that will tell you your type, your strategy, and your definition, your authority, a bunch of different things. The more basic information. So that's where you want to start. And on that website, as you hover over things, they're going to give you little snippets of information. So that's the best place to start is look at their little snippets of information. Now you can pay and get deeper information, but I'm just going to say there is so much information on the internet, on Instagram, on all these places that for free, you don't necessarily, I would start digging into the free stuff first and see if it resonates before you go into the paid stuff. But they do a nice job with basic information on your chart. And there are five different types. So if you think of astrology, you know, there's the 12 astrological zodiac signs of the zodiac. So there's five human design types. Obviously, it's covering a broad mass of humanity if there's 7 billion people and we're putting them in five buckets. So if you get your type and you're like, no, that doesn't feel like me, don't stress about it. There's reasons that could be. But some people, they hear their type and right away they're like, oh my gosh, yes, that's me. So first there are generators. And generators, the general generator category, and it actually splits into two types, covers 70% of the population. So most, you know, the majority of people are generators. 35% of those, roughly, are pure generators, and 35% are another type called manifesting generators. Pure generators are, well, all generators are designed to respond to life. So they take what flows to them, and they respond from their sacral. And they have, by definition, a generator is anyone who has a their sacral center defined. And we can talk about some of these terms a little later if we want. But that's a very, that's the largest motor in the body. So they have consistent access to energy. So your generators and your manifesting generators are typically going to be the people who are busy a lot. They're the people who are like, wow, do you ever stop? You know, they do need rest. I will say that. But a lot of times they're just very busy and they have access to this life force energy, which they share with the rest of the world. And some of our other types don't have consistent access to energy. So they benefit from the generator's energy. Generators, consistent access to life force energy and designed to respond. Then I want to talk about manifestors. Manifestors are like 8 to 9% of the population. And these are our initiators. These are the people who are meant to initiate things in our world. They are the ones that Nike's slogan of just do it was written for. Just do it, make it happen. Those are our manifestors. They operate off of this creative impulse within themselves. And their energy is much a like kind of pushing out energy. And that's the initiating versus the generators are a drawing in energy. So they draw in things to respond to. But the interesting thing is manifestors are only 8 to 9% of our total population, but we're all told to go out and make things happen. First thing I love about human design is it says, oh, maybe that's not right for everybody.
Amen.
So yeah, our manifestors are meant to go make things happen. Kind of one of the key, each type also has a strategy. So their strategy is to inform. And basically that means that whatever you're getting ready to go make happen, the people it's going to impact, tell them about it first so they know it's coming and so that they don't interrupt you in this massive creative flow that you're going to, like the manifestors, when they're initiating something that they're meant to, they're in this just huge creative flow of momentum. And so you want to let them to be able to keep moving in that. The third type is the one I mentioned before, the manifesting generators. Again, about 35% of us. And it's a bit of a combination between a generator and a manifestor. They are a generator type. They are not meant to initiate. Being a manifesting generator, that can sometimes be challenging because we really can be impatient and want to initiate, but we're not meant to. We're meant to respond first. But once they have that response in their body, that physical response, they can sometimes get into action faster than a generator. So it's almost like they have a bit of that initiating energy, but it's initiation in response. For their strategy is kind of a combination of both the generator and the manifestor. They're meant to respond, but they should also inform the people around them so that once they get into that flow of their response and action from the response, they can keep with it. Next, we have our projectors, and they make about 20% of the population, and our lovely projectors are normally, their gift is to understand us all and understand the energy we're all operating in and to guide others. A lot of times, not always, but a lot of times the reason they're so good at understanding what is going on is they have a lot of openness in their chart, a lot of undefined centers. They are what's called non-energy beings. I don't love that term because they have energy, but they don't have that consistent access to the sacral energy. They, wherever we have openness in our chart, whatever type of energy that's related to that or whatever that place is about, we can borrow that from other people and actually amplify it, magnify it. So sometimes a projector may seem more energetic even than a generator because they're using that generator energy. And if they don't understand their projectorness, they can run and amplify on other people's energy, but it often leads to burnout. So it's very good to know your type and how to deal with that. But they are guides for other people, and their strategy is to be invited. That can be a formal invitation of, hey, would you like to, you know, work here for us? But it can also be an energetic invitation, which comes either in the form of like recognition. A lot of times it comes in the form of recognition of excellence in an area. And so then, you know, people want to take part of that. And when I talk about energetic invitation, the best way I can think of to explain it that most people will understand is any of us who have ever been in the dating world, there's this sense of someone and it's like, well, I think they're into me and I think they're flirting with me and, oh, look at how they look at me. And, oh, you know, like your friends will say, whenever you come in the room, they light up or they always come over and talk to you. So they may not be asking you out, but there's an energetic, you know, interest and invitation and recognition there. So that's how I like to explain, because projectors sometimes when they hear, what, I have to wait for an invitation, I'm never going to get to do anything in my life. Mm-hmm. Most of us, I think when we hear our type, except for maybe manifestors, because we're all taught that we're supposed to initiate. So everybody else that has this design to wait, whether it's to wait to respond to something or wait to be invited, a lot of times we get prickly about that and, you know, want to resist that. And well, but then I'm never going to be able to get to do anything. I promise if you're living your design, you are going to have more invitations, more things to respond to, you know, than you need. It takes a little faith there. The last type is the reflector, and they're only about 1% of our population. I've never met a reflector in person that I know of. The definition of a reflector is that every center, there's 9 centers in the body, every center is undefined. They do not have consistent access to the energy of any of their centers. They are very open to what is going on around them. Environment is super important to them, being in an environment that is good to them, because they're just soaking up everything that is around them. But they're designed to reflect back the state of our world or our community to the rest of us. So they're the ones that can see really clearly what is going on and where we're going as a whole. I will say that if you're a reflector, as much as I would love to work with reflectors, and I'm happy to work with them, if someone is a reflector, connecting with other reflectors is probably like the best thing for them. And if they decide to get a reading of their chart, getting one from a reflector or someone who has a lot of experience with reflectors, they're just so unique and have different, such different gifts and challenges kind of than the rest of us. Their strategy is actually to wait a full 28 days before making any large decisions, because, or like taking action on big things in their life, because 28 days, the moon travels through every gate in the human design system. And so by nature of that transit, they get to sample all of the energy in the entire chart, and that will give them clarity as to what they're supposed to do. So those are our 5. So we have generators, manifesting generators, manifestors, projectors, and reflectors.
And on this call, we have 2 manifesting generators and a generator, in case anyone's wondering.
So if they're feeling a lot of amped up energy here, we got all of our sacral energy flowing from the 3 of us.
I've heard reflectors, and we won't dive too much into this, but referred to as like chameleons, where they take on, because they're so open, they take on their environment so much, they might pick up mannerisms or language in a different way and feel like they never really know themselves because they're so much in reflection of the people around them. Is that your understanding of it?
Yes, because they're so open, the word we use in human design is they're always being conditioned. Like they're always absorbing energy and it's always coming from somewhere else. And by energy, I don't mean like physical energy to, you know, be active and do things, but it's the energy of emotions. It's the energy, mental energy. And they have very little in their chart that is consistent from group to group. So I just want to give a little example because it can be confusing to talk about in the general. There is a center in the body graph, and it's the diamond shape right in the center, and it's called our G center. The G center deals with identity, it deals with love, and it deals with direction. So for someone with a defined G center, they're typically going to know who they are and what they value and where they want to go in life and have a clear understanding of that without having a lot of conditioning from people around them. for instance, I'll just use myself. I have a defined G center. So when I'm with different groups of people, you know, whether it's friends from different times in my life or whether it's family members or whether it's just acquaintances or different, you know, classes I've been in, I pretty much show up as myself the same in any group. But we all know those people who show up and it's like, wow, you know, when she's with these people, she acts one way. When she's with those people, she's completely different. And maybe we're like, what's going on there? Like, why is she not being real? But if that person has an undefined G center, they don't have consistent access to their identity. Their identity is very open to being conditioned by the groups they're with. So they may show up differently from between their family and their friends or their friends and their coworkers, or between a pottery class and a, I don't know, what might we study on our own? A human design class.
So I want to stop you there because
yes,
I'm a little confused, number one, but that's okay. And
that's human design, baby.
Yeah, I welcome know. To human design. Right? I promise it gets better.
No, but I'm trying to understand. So when you're saying the G center, is it consistent that a generator is always going to have it open or closed? Okay, so they can be different in each of these five.
Yes. So types. A generator always has a defined sacral center. That's the definition of a generator. They have a defined
sacral. But the sacral. Other stuff can be variable.
But everything else can vary. Yes.
And so do any of them have the definition of them as this defined G center? Or they can all vary in all the types?
So all of the types can vary in the G center. That is not something that specifies what type you are. And let me just talk to that to so people can say what is. So generators and manifesting generators always have a defined sacral.
And that's a square box second from the bottom, right? If exactly. They're looking at their chart.
Exactly. Manifesting generators, what makes them different than generators is that they have a motor center. There's four motor centers. One of their motor centers connects to their throat. So they have a defined throat and a defined motor center. It is not always the sacral, although there is one channel that goes directly from the sacral center to the throat. And people kind of think of that as like typical manifesting generator, but it can be actually any of their motors connecting to the throat is the manifesting generator. A manifester has a motor to the throat that is not the sacral. If it was the sacral, they'd be a manifesting generator. So they have a motor defined to the throat. So one of the other three, it would either be the root, the solar plexus, or the heart center, because those are the other three motors.
And so when you're looking on your chart, this is why having your own chart out is really exciting during this call, because you can look and start to see which of these shapes basically in your chart, which are what we're calling centers, are either colored in, which would be defined, or white, which would be undefined. And it varies between each energy type, but there are reasons why you become an energy type based on these centers. Is that right?
There are. The definition of the energy types is like the what makes you an energy type is based off of where you have definition in your chart.
Yes.
And definition means that it's colored in a color. The color's not important. With the lines, there is a meaning to the colors, but in terms of the shapes, which are centers, so you're going to look at your chart and there's going to be squares and triangles and diamonds, and those shapes, color isn't important. Having color just means it's defined, and it means you have consistent access to that. And the way it gets colored is there's little numbers and lines coming off each of those centers, and those are called gates. And so when you have a gate coming off of one center that's defined, and you have a gate coming off of the next center and it's defined, and they connect to make a fully colored line, that's called a defined channel. So a defined channel defines the centers at either end. So when I say you have a motor connected to a throat, it means you're going to be able to follow the colored line. So you start on one of the motor centers with your finger, your pencil. You can trace up through colored lines up to the throat, which is the square that's the third center down from the top.
What I really love about what you're saying is about this open or closed G center is
right.
We're really kind of judgmental of people. if they are changing how they're behaving at pottery class versus, you know,
with their
Christmas
family or whatever.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, you're
flaky. Who are you? Yeah. Who are you?
Or you're fake. Or you're showing up here, you're fake. That's not really you.
I think of that judgment. And I think that, you know, in all of this, bringing so much freedom and so much permission and everything, is that there's just going to be people that is their authentic self, right? Because we all want authenticity and we don't want anybody being fake. Their authentic self can actually just kind of reflect who they're around, and that's okay.
Yes. And when you're on your own, so you may find, so someone with an open G center as they travel through life, basically they're sampling all these different identities, right?
You're like practicing, I could imagine. Like, I'm going to put on this one and put on this one.
You're actually absorbing it. You're taking in the energy of all these different identities and sampling what they're like. So they get a lot of, where we have openness in our chart is where our wisdom comes from, because we get to sample all these different things.
And then relate to those people,
I
would
imagine. And we can relate to those people. And then through that sampling, as you go through life, you may find that later in life, you don't do as much of the chameleon thing, because now you've sampled all these and you've been like, oh no, wait, this is me. But younger, you just don't have the information. That's how you're learning who you are, is by sampling all these different energies. And while in general, we tend to judge that person and say, like, you're flaky, you're fake, like, why do you change? In reality, the benefit of that to the person is you can go in any group and be comfortable. You belong everywhere. Yeah. Everyone maybe thinks you're like them because you're showing up in that openness and you're reflecting their identity. And so you may find, I can fit in all these different places. Whereas someone with a defined identity, G center, they may not fit into some groups because they're just like, that's not who I am. I'm not comfortable here.
Yes. And then get really mad at people. So is it the fourth one down? Is your G?
Yes.
Yes.
Fourth
one down.
Mine's open. So I'm like totally relating to this.
Yes. Yours is.
People get mad at you because they're like, well,
who are you?
You know, yeah. Like, oh, you dress up for that and then you're really chill. And so even with me, it's been interesting because when I ask, well, who am I? I like, and yes, as I've gotten older, I'm picking the things I like. But I remember in high school, so I moved 4 different high schools and I dressed all the things, right? There were the skaters and the preppy people and the grunge. And like, I'd hang out with all of them, you know, and each one of them would be mad at the preppy ones if they were the skaters, you know, like they didn't like them. And I was just... And so that chameleon, I really feel that judgment of that. But like me, the essence of me was the same, you know.
But you weren't trying to fool anyone. You weren't trying to take advantage of anyone or
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, because then we can just get to know all these different people. And
that's where, as you go through life, your wisdom is going to be, because then as you get to know them, you can be more accepting of them. And I think I already said this, I'm going to say it again, because it's what I love, love, love about human design, is we get to know and accept ourselves, and it helps us know and accept others. And human design, where so much of our world, I feel, is like becoming homogenized. And I remember, like, when I was in college, I went and spent 5 weeks in Germany. I'd always lived in the United States, but through a college program, I spent 5 weeks in Germany. And it was different. Their stores were different. Their candy was different. Their restaurants were different. It was, you know, a complete sampling of a different culture. Well, now you travel and it's like, you know, every country has Walmart and Target and McDonald's.
They dress the same because they can
really
see all of our things. Yeah.
In our connectedness and with the internet and in their ability to travel, we're becoming very homogenized. But what human design says is that everyone is an individual.
Hey, just wanted to pop on to invite you to continue this conversation with us over on Instagram at Whole Point Pod and Facebook, Whole Point Podcast.
Let us know any topics you want to hear about or any other people you'd love to hear from. And don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. Now back to the podcast.
There is no one who is going to have a chart exactly like yours because, you know, it's birth time, birth place and birth location. So even if someone is born at the exact same time with you, if they're born in another place, their chart's going to be different. If they're more born a minute different than you, their chart may be completely different. And I say maybe because I have identical twin girls born a minute apart, and at the chart you would print off of my body graph, their charts are identical, except for one deeper level thing that we're not going to get into today. But beyond what you see, as if your body graph isn't confusing enough, there are more knowledge and deeper levels below that that you can't see from this basic chart. There's going to be differences for them there.
So are your girls the same or different?
Yes.
Are they opposites?
They are both. And this is one of the things that really sold me on human design. They can be the same in many ways, but there's also some ways where they are really different. And so one of the ways where they were really different, and this in high school particularly was a real issue for them, conflict for them in their relationship, is that one is very time conscious and likes to show up early and really wants to be on time, and it's very important to her. And the other one is more flexible, just goes more flexible with time. Mm-hmm. And she always thinks she has plenty of time and she's not worried if she's a few minutes late. And when they got to driving age, that became an issue because the one who wanted to be early was out sitting in the car and the other one was still running around the house looking for her phone and her backpack. And they had this fight like every day, right? And so I was like, well, when I ran their designs and they were the same, I was like, well, how can that be? Because like, here is this obvious difference that we've dealt with like every day. And as I learned more about human design, what I learned is they both have an open splenic center, spleen center. And that is the energy for time lives there for us, how we interact with time. And because they're open, they interact with it differently. Like their conditioning to time is different. You know, they can have different experiences with time themselves. And one from her experiences with time became, you know, really time sensitive, wants to be on time. And like, I remember reading this in one of the first human design books I had. And it's like, oh, with an open spleen and dealing with time, you may find either that you're really vigilant with time and always like to be early, and it's really important to be on time, or you may feel like really flexible with time and like not really care and always late. And I was like, oh my gosh. The human design explained that for me is like, how could they have a nearly identical chart but react so differently to something so basic?
Would you say then, Stacey, when you're looking at your chart and there's these colored centers versus these white centers that are undefined, mm-hmm. and you know, I didn't even realize this until this point, but when I first got into it, I'm like, okay, I got to figure out what these undefined centers are and I need to know more about them, because it seems like even what you're saying about your daughters is that in these undefined centers becomes, as we've said, the wisdom's going to come through over age, but this is where you're going to be so much more flexible and your environment is going to impact you so much more.
Yes. So in our undefined, neither is more important to answer your question. And it's really what you're drawn to. So in your undefined centers, the ones that are white, there's a lot of learning. There can be a lot of challenge because that is where you're sampling your environment and you can be very conditioned. Conditioning is where you're taking on others' beliefs or others' behaviors around those things. And it may be stuff that's not healthy for you based on your design. There can be a lot of getting to know yourself that needs to happen there. You know, that can be challenging because, you know, we all know that as we grow up and we pick up the beliefs of our parents and our teachers and our babysitters and, you know, everybody from the TV, a lot of that, you're going to be more susceptible to that in your areas of openness. But in your defined centers, you can also be conditioned in your defined centers. I'll say it's less common, but you can. But in your defined centers are your consistent strengths. So I find it good to work from both sides, and it depends on the person. Some people may need to look at, well, what do I have consistently? Where are my kind of consistent gifts, the things I'm really familiar with, the things that I should already know about, and focus on operating there. So, some people, if you get a reading, will only talk about your defined centers. Some will only talk about your undefined or open centers, because again, that may be the stuff you're less familiar with. You may gain more insights, a different type of insight is like, oh, I'm doing this thing and that's not really good for me. Or, oh, I'm doing this thing and it feels bad. Where did I pick that up from? But there's benefit in both. When I started mine, I think I actually started in focusing with the defined centers and getting to know them. And then later came to, well, what's happening in these undefined centers? Now, for me, and this also matters, out of the 9 centers, I have 7 defined. So I have very little openness in terms of centers in my chart versus like a projector who maybe a mental projector who only has like the head and ajna defined and throat down is open. You know, there's just so much.
I'm raising a mental projector.
There you go. So yeah. It might be more beneficial to start looking at, well, you have so much that's undefined.
Right.
Like we need to start unpacking that. So I think it really depends on the person and what their design is.
I think it would be really good just for basics to take, and just for me to take. There's 2 things going on right now. We're having conversations about 2 different things. They're all part of human design. But in my mind, we have all these centers that can be open or closed. And then we have the 5 types and how they're operating in the world. So could we start with the types, an unhealthy and unhealthy version of each type? Could we do that? And then I think it would be really awesome to take another episode and continue the conversation with each of the open or closed centers, because there's 9 of those, and that's feels like a really big conversation to my little brain at the moment.
Yes, it is.
So we just talk about that healthy versus unhealthy for a minute, I think that would be
okay.
Good.
The basic place for anyone to start, and if you're new, is like not even kind of thinking about the centers and the openness first, is to focus on that type. You know, what does that mean in terms of how I respond to life? So the best place to start, you want to look at your type, your strategy, and your authority. And those would be listed in the side panel of information you get with your body graph. Authority means how you best make decisions based on your chart. And sometimes authority and strategy is like, oh, not that different. So a generator with sacral authority, like you're kind of saying the same thing twice, and I'll explain that. But the best thing is to say, what is my type? What is my strategy? What is my authority? So if you're a generator with sacral authority, it means generator, your strategy is meant to respond to life. Your authority is sacral. So what does that say? I don't initiate, I respond. The world, the universe, God, whatever word you want to use, sends me things. As it sends me things, I respond to that. Response in a generator is a body felt sensation coming, particularly your all sacral beings. It's a sacral response. It's coming from the sacral part. Think the sacral chakra, if you're more familiar with chakras, of your body. A yes is some sort of moving towards its expansion, its excitement, you know, it's turning that big sacral motor on. You're going, yeah, I mean, it's a rising up. If you could see me, you know, I'm moving forward in my chair, my arms are coming up. It's literally body felt.
It's a hell yes. Like you can feel it in your body.
You can feel it.
Yeah.
Human design says none of us are meant to make decisions from our mind. Most of us are. Most of us are living life, our mental, we're making decisions from our mind. But we're meant to make it from our authorities. There are many different types. I'm just going to name off.
Please, yeah. And just explain what each one kind of means. I think that would be really helpful.
So authority is how we're meant to make decisions. I'm going to say it's how we're meant to make like medium to large decisions. It does not need to be how I make decisions on what I eat for lunch. Because sometimes people get really rigid about this. that's not helpful. They get very perfectionist, like, oh, I can't move unless I'm invited to eat lunch. No, you can eat lunch if you're a projector. Go for it. And let me say that human design, the founder of human design, always talked about it as an experiment. Play with these things. Be willing to do them wrong, quote unquote. Experiment and see, does it resonate with you? I don't care how long someone has been studying human design. You are the expert on your own design. You may be living a conditioned version of it, but you know you. If something doesn't resonate, you can go investigate why that is, or you can just trust yourself. Experiment, you're the expert. Don't let this be a system that dictates your life. It's a system that's meant to know you better, but my belief is you're the expert already in some level of yourself. It may not be the surface level you're used to dealing with, but that's like my little PSA. I just got to put that out there. So authority is how you make decision. Emotional authority is the top in the hierarchy. If you have a defined emotional solar plexus, that takes precedence. Emotional authority is, it means you need to wait. You need to wait for emotional clarity. Our emotions operate in a wave frequency, so highs and lows. I think we're all familiar with that, right? High yeah. emotions, low emotions. If you're feeling emotionally charged about a decision, either end of the spectrum, you're meant to wait to experience your emotional wave. And when you have emotional clarity, then you can have clarity to make a decision.
You can take
emotional authority. That takes kind of precedence over everything else, is how we teach the basics. So I'm just going to leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
So your best friend, so Serena, you have emotional authority, so do I. Our best friend is a phrase, something along the lines of, hey, let me sleep on that. Or hey, can I get back to you? Spontaneous decisions, normally not our friend. Because if there's any emotional charge, we need to kind of wait out that emotional charge and feel it through all portions of our emotional wave. And then we'll have the clarity to make a decision. As a generator or manifesting generator with emotional authority, once we have emotional clarity, we pay attention to our body response. The yes of the sacral is an expansion, excitement, moving towards. The no is constriction, contraction. Literally in your body, you can feel your energy pulling in, contracting. Sometimes in response, you don't energetically feel anything. Normally that's going to be like a, I don't know yet, or a maybe. Sometimes it's just not, it doesn't matter much. It's kind of a neutral, I can do it. Maybe, maybe not. But for things, you know, yes is normally expansion. No is contraction. Sometimes no for you might be an absence of energy. And that's why we need to experiment to get to know your own sacral response. What does it feel like in your body?
And that's after she's ridden that emotional wave.
For an emotional person, that's after you've done the emotional wave. Christy, you don't have the emotional authority.
Mm-hmm.
So you respond like in the moment. It sends you something, your body's going to do its thing, and then you can trust that feeling in your body.
And when you said there, so there's emotional authority, and then what would you call my authority?
Sacral.
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 So,
and then so what, in terms of hierarchies of mm-hmm. authorities, emotional takes precedence. Sacral is next.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is splenic. That means we have a defined spleen center. That one is what I think generally we would call instinct or intuition. Your sacral response is, if you go back and tap back into it and you ask it 10 times over the course of time, it's probably going to remain the same. You know, if it was a yes yesterday, it's going to be a yes today. Your spleen whispers. It's an in-the-moment response because it is dependent on what is happening in the now. Your spleen is the one that when you walk into let's say, a job interview, and you walk into the room and you just kind of get like a crawly, like, ah, this doesn't feel good. That's your spleen, say, if you have a defined spleen, saying, this isn't the job for you. It's tapping into, okay, something, our spleen center is about well-being, what's healthy for you, survival. If you have a defined spleen, you can trust that. It's a whisper that just comes in a moment. It doesn't repeat itself. So it's when you're walking out the door on a sunny day and something says, grab your umbrella. Your mind's looking at the bright, clear sky going, what? I don't need an umbrella. You go out without the umbrella, and when you're coming home from work, you get drenched because there's a, you know, it's like your spleen's like, no, it's going to rain. Grab your umbrella. Mm. That's your spleen. So that's third in the hierarchy. 50% of us have emotional authority. 70% of us also have sacral authority, although it may not be our priority, but you know, there's 70% of population is generator or manifesting generator. They all have sacral authority either in combination with the emotional or on its own. When you get to splenic authority, those three cover the majority of people have one of those three authorities as their primary authority.
So in looking at this and assuming that that's the majority of people that are listening, that's what you, the, as we're looking at healthy and unhealthy ways the types are, it's the healthiest to tap in and listen to which of these is going to lead you. So when we're making decisions, this is like moving, job, relationships, like all those things. Right. It's tapping in. It sounds like just honoring instead of getting your pros and cons list and rationalizing and, you know, thinking right. and everything. It's honoring these different ways that you are being led and communicated with.
It's honoring what you're really, what it is honoring what your body's telling you about the decision mm-hmm. versus letting the mind tell you. In terms of types or designs, there is no inherently healthy or unhealthy design. It's just whether you're living more in alignment with your design or you're not living in alignment with your design. And there is no living your design perfectly. Like there's mm-hmm. no perfection. I'm a recovering perfectionist. Hi, I'm Stacy. I'm a recovering perfectionist. And, you know, the tendency is for me, like I wanted to understand it all and do it all right. Like there is no such thing because it's like levels, you know, as you start to get familiar with your emotional clarity and what that feels like, or your sacral response, there's just more and more levels of that to uncover and dig into, you know, so it's like, there's just more wisdom in you that you can continually uncover and feel great about. So I don't want to say like, if you're not living your design, you may not feel great, but there's nothing wrong with you. It's just, oh, well, you know, what can I do that will feel better? And let me try this, you know, oh, I'm an emotional authority. Let me try waiting. You know, like maybe right. I grew up in a house or with friends who were super spontaneous because they, you know, were projectors with splenic authority. So their authority came in the moment and they could be very spontaneous. And so I grew up thinking that was the way to be, but oh, wait, I'm emotional authority. This could explain why in several cases my life has blown up.
You said like I'm a recovering perfectionist. And I was like, I'm a recovering spaz, like making these decisions so quickly, you know, and being on that emotional high and being like, oh, yes. And then you've got to do all this cleanup.
Right.
Because it wasn't the right decision, you know, and that's, I've learned through trial and error, you know, over the years that I need to wait and I need to do things out of that emotion, you know, send the email, call the person, whatever it is. So
and you've learned that even without knowing your design. So like, I want to point out to people, I mean,
life is trying to always get you back to your design.
That's it. You know, I love human design. I am like big human design nerd, you know, this. But you don't need to know your human design to live your design. Life is always trying
it's
to
who you are
and bring you there.
Yeah, this is just like a roadmap.
This
and, is and
for me,
a
it
cheat
just makes
sheet.
It easier. Yes, a cheat sheet. It's like, what were those books you read in, when you didn't read your book in high school?
Oh, Cliff Notes.
So we need to wrap up this portion, which to me, I'm sure some of our listeners also, is like fire hose.
Yeah.
Days. But really good. And you just maybe have to listen to it a few times. And also,
you have to have your chart in front of you.
Go grab your chart. Super. It'll give so much clarity to what we're talking about. So that's two things about it. And then we're going to continue the conversation in our next episode, getting a little more explanation into some of these things as well.
And so, I want to explain my way of doing things. And if you saw my design, you would know why. I won't explain it to you, but my way of being wired is that when I have a system, I like to understand the system and understand my design. Like, mm-hmm. to me, I want both. You do not need to understand how the human design system works to get benefit out of it. If you don't care what makes you a generator, like if you're like sacral, what? I don't care. You just want to know, what do I do? Like, how do I apply it? You do not need to understand the system to apply the system. All you're going to do is get your chart, go find a human design, a person who does human design readings that you resonate with, and say to them, tell me about my chart. You don't even need to know which is the sacral center. They're going to say, oh, you're a generator with sacral authority. What you want to do is wait to respond till life flows something to you. This is what it feels like in your body. These are some of the challenges you might face. These are some of the things you might do well. And you don't need to understand how they're pulling that out of your design at all.
And that's your cliff notes. Now proceed to experiment, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Awesome. So if this is all like, wow, that was so much information, I'm never going to get this. You don't need to ever get it. Just talk to someone who does get it, and they'll say, here are the experiments for you to try. And then you go and you try an experiment. If you have fun with that, you can always go get another reading and say, okay, these are the experiments I tried. This is what I know. I want to know more.
Okay. Thank you, Stacey, so much for doing the Herculean task of attempting to distill this down to some basic starting points, which I think we've done here. And we're going to continue the conversation in a second episode, because we want to take this into really your zone of genius, where you're operating from and using this system with your clients. And that's what we're going to do in the next episode. So I want to make sure this episode includes how people can find you out in the interwebs. So tell me where you're at.
The best place to find me is on Instagram. And my Instagram handle is @custombuiltlife. And then if you have any questions, or, you know, are interested in knowing more of what I do, you can absolutely just email me at humandesign@custombuiltlife.com.
Wonderful. And everyone, I hope you'll join us as we continue to pull threads out of this human design landscape, because I know there will be nuggets that will continue this unfolding for you. So thank you for listening today. And thank you, Stacey, again for being here. And please join us in the next episode as we continue this discussion on human design. Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends, leave us a review, subscribe so more people can find us.
And if you want more information about me or Christy, there's a link to both of our websites in the show notes, and we'll see you next time.